I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy as always to have you on board to the podcast, and what an eventful weekend it was for the BYU football program, as the Cougars had five NFL draft picks in the 2021 NFL draft, and we're recapping it here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. And it's always powered by KSLSports.com, and make sure to download the KSL Sports app today. It's always brought to you by University Federal Credit Union. You can get my articles, this podcast, Cougar Sports Saturday, anything BYU, anything Utah Jazz. It's available on the KSL Sports app presented by University Federal Credit Union. So it's a big NFL draft recap show here on the podcast today. And the big storyline, of course, I think not only for BYU, but the entire NFL draft was Zach Wilson. I know Trevor Lawrence goes number one overall, but Zach Wilson to me was the big story. One, because he was there on location in Cleveland, the first guy to embrace Roger Goodell post-pandemic at the NFL draft, another sign of normalcy just around the corner. But Zach Wilson goes to a franchise with the New York Jets that's going to have a lot of media attention, huge focus, and him being there and his youthful looks, he was just a big story from the draft, and it feels like so many people have differing opinions of Zach Wilson. Trevor Lawrence, it's kind of universal. He's always been viewed as the number one pick. That's no surprise. But Zach Wilson, you got people that are in love with him, like a Chris Sims from NBC. And then you got others like Mel Kiper Jr. who are just ripping Zach Wilson. They're saying that the Jets should have stayed with Sam Darnold. I don't understand, by the way, Mel Kiper with the whole didn't play anyone, you know, sugar levels through the roof, cupcake, cupcake, cupcake. I'm like, look, Mel, you got to acknowledge the fact that BYU pieced together a schedule on the fly amidst the pandemic. The fact that they even played 12 games, you should applaud. Acknowledge the fact that he did get two wins over Tennessee and USC, two teams that won bowl games and were eight-win teams in 2019. I mean, come on. You got to acknowledge that, Mel. Like, I've always been a Mel Kiper fan. Don't get me wrong. Like, when I was in second grade, I did an About Me profile. And what I want to be when I grow up was the next Brett Musburger or Mel Kiper Jr. or Keith Jackson. Like, that was my line as a second grader. So I've always been a big Mel Kiper Jr. fan, but still, that line from Mel was ridiculous, especially when you go to the next pick, Trey Lance, North Dakota State, and strength of schedule and opposition is never brought up. No one ever brings this anecdote up. Go look at the recruiting rankings for BYU. The Cougars can't have it both ways. I love how it's like, oh, they don't play anyone, they're just crushing people. Yet when you look at the recruiting rankings, you would see that BYU the past few years has been kind of in the same stratosphere as the Western Kentuckys, as the Houstons, the UTSAs. They've been kind of in that same area. It hasn't been that big of a gap, a big talent gap, to pull a line from some well-known friends of ours. But really, there's not that big of a gap in terms of the recruiting rankings yet. It's always, BYU just got the size, the advantage. They got a bunch of dudes at BYU. Like, No, that was player development. Zach Wilson was a 3-star. Brady Christensen was a 2-star. Kyrus Tonga, a 2-star. Player development. Good frames, good technique, good skills, but a little bit overlooked, too, being in the state of Utah. Zach Wilson going to the New York Jets with the number 2 overall pick. The haters, they're out there, but there's a lot of supporters, too. And all of Jets Nation, the gangrene Jets Nation, they're all in on Zach Wilson, as they should be. They don't have any other options. Zach Wilson has got to be the great hope for the New York Jets franchise. He has to be the guy that could potentially be the next big star. I got to say, there's been a lot of nicknames thrown out over the weekend. Zach's Fifth Avenue. That's the nickname. That's the one. There was a guy a couple weeks ago who posted a graphic. I actually retweeted it on my personal account, a graphic of Zach's Fifth Avenue. I thought that was fantastic because it was a cool graphic, and I just think that sounds pretty good. Broadway Zach, I don't mind that. I like it. But that was Joe Namath's thing. Zach's Fifth Avenue. Pretty good. And I think that this fit for Zach Wilson with the New York Jets is a really good fit. LaFleur is the offensive coordinator. Robert Saleh, the head coach. Joe Douglas, the general manager. I think you got to like the fact that there's so much new. Everyone's starting from the ground up. And I think that's what you kind of like about Zach going to the New York Jets. It feels like he will get the necessary time to be able to build this thing up and succeed. Because if he was looked upon to come in year one and lead them to a playoff run in year one, I don't think he's the guy, then he's the pick. Because I don't think Zach Wilson's ready to lead a team to the playoffs. I just don't think yet, as of right now. I mean, I think a lot of these quarterbacks in this draft class, I think it's going to take a lot of time. I think that this draft class was a little bit overvalued just because of the pressing needs of value of the importance of quarterbacks in the NFL today. So teams will go much higher than what probably these guys would warrant otherwise. Like, I think a Kyle Pitts is probably a better overall NFL-ready prospect than maybe Zach Wilson. But I think Zach Wilson's going to work a ton. Like, that guy's going to be relentless. He doesn't have to worry now about school. I mean, that was always kind of bogging him down to begin with. And the pandemic, you saw where he was able to do things online and virtually. It became kind of football was his job. And look at the results. He put up 33 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions and led BYU to an 11-win season. I think Zach's going to have an uptick in wins with the Jets, but it's going to be difficult. I love, though, the type of draft picks that the Jets picked for Zach Wilson. Vera Tucker from USC, fantastic pick. Go up and move him at number 14. And then you get Elijah Moore, wide receiver from Ole Miss in round 2. Michael Carter at North Carolina, running back. There's some weapons, and they're all starting from point A together. And they can kind of build this thing up brick by brick together. Mekhi Becton at left tackle from last year. Joe Douglas, he's got a pretty good track record when it comes to scouting departments and NFL draft evaluations. So I think BYU fans should be excited about that. This is not maybe your typical New York Jets. I think they're going to understand value a lot more with the NFL draft and the boards. I think they did a fantastic job. And then in the later rounds, it went all defense. And because the Jets, one of the worst teams in the NFL last year, they got a lot of needs beyond just simply quarterback. But Zach has all the makings to be that star QB that the Jets have been wanting. And he has the potential, too, to be a folk hero. Like, imagine if Zach Wilson has a 10-year career with the Jets, gets into a few playoff appearances, makes some runs, maybe get to an AFC championship game. Maybe if he took them to a Super Bowl, not even won one, but got them to a Super Bowl game, holy cow, there'd be a statue of that man. Zach Wilson would become a folk hero. He's got the charming looks. He's going to get endorsement deals galore. This man is going to be rolling in the cash. $22 million guaranteed is coming his way. Like, Zach Wilson's doing good in life. He's doing good right now. He's not going to be needing to do DoorDash or Uber Eats for Mother's Day anymore. It was just a great moment, though, to see him, his family, Kalani Sitake, Aaron Roderick, Fessy, Coach Kerr from Corner Canyon, John Beck, the brain trust around, the support system around Zach Wilson, all there, who believed in him. I mean, all of those guys believed in him from a young age. Kalani Sitake believed in Zach Wilson when probably he was 8th, 9th grade. And that the story's well documented about how he got to BYU and all of that. But that was just a great moment for that family. And it just shows that if you put in the work, you grind, you can achieve anything, and you can achieve anything at BYU too. And I think a lot of these preconceived stereotypes about BYU with as an independent, they kind of got busted a little bit this weekend. I think this whole year, COVID-19, BYU's been one of the biggest beneficiaries amidst COVID-19 than any other school in college football, you could argue, because the Cougars have hit it out of the park. They've broken down these walls, these barriers that everyone thought couldn't be broken anymore in this world of college football. Can you have elite quarterback play anymore? Yes, you can. Can you win big as an independent? Can you be in the national conversation? Yes, you can. Can you produce a lot of draft picks from BYU? Yes, you can. And Zach Wilson going number two overall, the highest rated quarterback or highest selected quarterback or highest selected player in BYU football history. I think in year one with the Jets, I think it's going to be probably a 4 or 5 win season. I don't think you can expect anything more than that, to be honest. I just don't. But I love, too, the chairman with the Jets, Woody Johnson. I think I know more about you than I do my own kids. He's probably right. When you're talking about a $22 million investment guaranteed, I know 35 is going to be the total contract, but 22 guaranteed, you're going to want to make sure this thing's right. Because at what point with the Jets, if this thing goes south with Zach Wilson, will they ever get it right? I mean, he is the highest pick in the common draft era for the Jets from a quarterback ever. Higher than Sam Darnold, number two overall. Joe Namath was number one, but it was before the common draft in 67. He's the highest ever. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. And I think, too, with the New York media, they're just consuming. I've seen it just with our website, KSL Sports, the type of traffic. Jets fans are passionate. They're like BYU fans, I'll tell you. They are all in on this guy. For good reason. He's got to be. He's their only hope. But if he can't perform right away, you're going to wonder, man, is this, when will the Jets ever get it right? But I hope for Zach Wilson that it does work out, and I think it will. It's just going to take some time. Can there be patience? I think one of the things is, too, is Zach has to avoid those just catastrophic games. And what I mean by that is the 3-interception, 4-interception, a disastrous fumble, things like that. He cleaned that up in 2020. We know that. But those were some of the calling cards or traits of Zach Wilson, maybe some of the knocks on him in 2019 and 2018 when he was a young quarterback and he was injured. Even in 2018, he was battling shoulder pain and issues. Like that, that was plaguing him during his football career. Will he avoid that? Can he take care of the football? If he can do that, mission accomplished in year one. Get the Jets about 4 or 5 wins. I think that would be a great job, and that would be a nice foundation to build off of. And then in year two, I think you look at, hey, can you get to 500? Can you get to 8, 9 wins? And then in year three, you got to get to the playoffs. Because the AFC East, I think that, you know, there's a lot of good coaches in there. The Dolphins have much improved. The Buffalo Bills look to be the class of the division. The New England Patriots are going to have Mac Jones now, and they still got Cam Newton, who's going to be the starting quarterback. But Bill Belichick, it's going to be, you know, a tough road to hoe. But I think that it's still winnable. There's no Tom Brady in that league. I know Josh Allen's a great quarterback for the Bills, but there's still not this just 1,000-pound gorilla that you just is just smothering everyone else in the division. So it's more winnable than ever before. And I think that, you know, there's an opportunity. I think a 3-year plan, is there the patience, though, to allow that to happen? Because when you're the number two overall pick, results are expected immediately. So we're all going to be watching. We're all going to be paying attention. And I think that, too, I'm curious to see how this, you know, evolves with BYU fans. I don't think it's going to create any Jets fans, per se. But I think it's everyone in Utah. I think you're going to see the local stations want to pick up Jets games. It'll be interesting to see coming up on May 13th, the schedule release for the NFL, if they're going to put the Jets in any primetime spots, like maybe a Monday night, Sunday night game. Because usually we just don't see the Jets out here in Salt Lake. And if they don't put those games on, you're going to have to get the Sunday NFL ticket, which I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to, because I want to see every snap of Zach Wilson. It's going to be fun. I'm hoping too, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Jets have a home game against the New Orleans Saints. Can you imagine that? Zach Wilson versus Taysom Hill. Woo, baby. Inject that into my veins. Let's go. Let's go. I remember growing up and watching Steve Young with the Niners and Ty Detmer with the Eagles. I feel like that happened. Memory serves me right. I want to say there was a game that those two squared off, and that was just sweet. Like, you know, because it's one thing, my theory, and we talked about this on Cougar Sports Saturday, BYU fans, diehard BYU fans, and I know many of you, guys and gals love BYU football and BYU basketball, and just BYU sports. Like, you guys are diehards. BYU fans are top-notch, top-shelf, like, passion galore. But when it comes to the NFL, I feel like BYU fans are kind of like, yeah, like, I like it, but it's not like there's this diehard team connection to it. Like, BYU fans, I feel like, are more college fans, period. Like, the NFL, busy on Sundays with church obligations, and it's just, it's tough, one. There's never been a team in Utah. But even out-of-state BYU fans, like, I don't get the impression that they're diehard NFL fans. But when BYU guys are in the NFL, they're all in. And they will support those guys to the end of the earth. And especially when they're quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. Like, it's not the same when, yeah, let's tune in to watch the offensive guard. Like, yeah, everyone's going to be like, yeah, great job, offensive lineman. But they want to see the skill guys. It just slaps a little different when it's the quarterbacks. And that's going to be a lot of fun to see. So hopefully, Jets Saints, whenever that game is going to happen, hopefully it's Taysom versus Zach. That would be awesome to see. Would love to see that. I mean, that's the type of game that I would love to go cover. Because just, you know, that's history, right? Two BYU quarterbacks starting in the NFL. There's only 32 men that can say they're starting quarterbacks, and two of them could be from BYU. Pretty cool. So good luck to Zach Wilson. He wasn't the only guy that was selected in the draft. Brady Christensen, first BYU offensive lineman since 2005, picked up in the third round. Pick number 70, Brady Christensen goes to the Carolina Panthers. The first time a Carolina Panthers pick for a former BYU player. So the Carolina Panthers were one of the teams coming into the draft, one of three teams that had never selected a BYU player. Now it's down to two. Those two teams, Jacksonville Jaguars, Houston Texans. A little fun trivia there for you. But I think Brady Christensen going to the Panthers, my producer on Cougar Sports Saturday, Dallin Graff, he's a diehard Panthers fan. So he's kind of the exception to the BYU fan rule. He loves the NFL probably a little bit more, I think. Christensen goes to the Panthers, and that's a team that's had eight different starting offensive tackles in the last 8 years. So that right there screams to me opportunity galore for Christensen. And the Panthers, they loved what happened with BYU guys at the pro day. They signed Micah Simon. He runs a sub 4.440, 4.39, I believe. And then Christensen puts up historic numbers in the pro day with his broad jump, great time, great testing. He's massive, by the way. His body, from where it was at the Boca Raton Bowl to now, dude, he physically looks like an NFL veteran already. Like, just physique, the body. He's ready to play in the NFL, play in the trenches. I can't wait for Brady Christensen. I think he's going to be pretty good. And then it felt like for the longest time, BYU was just going to end up with two guys. It was like, oh, man, it's kind of a little bit of a bummer. This class that had all these guys in the NFL draft, only two guys get picked. Top 70 picks, great, sure, but a little bit underwhelming. And then it was just coming in hot. Pick number 250 in round 7, Kyrus Tonga goes to the Chicago Bears. Then the next pick after that, 251, Chris Wilcox, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then the penultimate pick, Dax Milne, second to last pick, goes 258 to the Washington football team. That was great because I'm of the belief, and we discussed this on Cougar Sports Saturday, it's all about getting drafted. Because every draft pick matters. You can scoff at the round 7, round 6 picks, sure. But there's something invested from those teams for that guy. And I think just in the record books, too, It just looks better. I mean, now you're going to look at BYU's NFL draft history and see five guys in 2021. That matters. I mean, you can now say on the recruiting trail, BYU, if you're Kalani Sitake, hey, we tied USC, we tied Clemson, we tied Texas for five draft picks in 2021. That's a great message to tell recruits. Yes, you can say Taysom Hill, but he wasn't drafted. And the undrafted road is always much more difficult. If you can get a great fit, you can get a nice financial deal, it works out fantastic, but it just, those teams are always quicker to move on guys. And look, sixth and seventh round picks, you might not even make it to the season. You could get cut in training camp. There's no guarantees. But still, there's some investment from those teams. They liked you enough to put in the card and say, you're our guy. And, you know, I think with Kyrus Tonga, he could be a nice rotational guy in the backup at defensive line. Chris Wilcox, I knew he was going to get drafted because that speed is elite. He is no joke, a phenomenal athlete. That speed, that size, you knew he was going to get drafted. I was kind of surprised, I'm not going to lie, that Dax Milne didn't go until the second last pick. I was stunned, to be honest. I said boldly when he announced he was declaring, I thought he was going to be a fourth round guy. I just did. His pro day numbers, though, weren't great. Dax Milne did not test well, I thought, in terms of elite numbers in the pro day, but that's not his game. He's never going to impress you coming off the bus. You look at him like he's in great shape, don't get me wrong, but like he's not that guy. It's the film, it's the production, it's the he can break a man press on the field. Like, that's his strength, and that doesn't stand out in a pro day setting. So I think that maybe played a role in him dipping all the way, but he goes to the Washington football team, and as I check, that organization doesn't really have any skill players. I mean, they barely even have any quarterbacks. That's going to have to be sorted out with their quarterback play, but I think Dax Milne, all these guys that get an opportunity. And then seven BYU guys get undrafted free agent deals. So 12 BYU football players are now having opportunities in the National Football League. Well, 13. If you can include Kavika Fanua, he gets a mini-camp invite. That's going to be tough, though, to make it to training camp. But he gets a mini-camp invite. He gets an opportunity. Isaiah Kafusi goes to the Indianapolis Colts. Matt Bushman to the Las Vegas Raiders. Zane Anderson to the Chiefs. Tristan Hodge to the Jets. Chandon Herring to the Titans. Troy Warner to the Rams. Zach Dodd to the Falcons. And then Kavika Fanua gets a mini-camp invite to the Panthers. So, what a great year for BYU in the NFL draft. Huge year. I mean, it could not have gone any better for BYU football. And I love the Matt Bushman fit with the Raiders. And I know I'm biased. I love the Las Vegas Raiders. That's my team. But the Raiders need a second tight end behind Darren Waller. And Matt Bushman as an undrafted free agent. And Mike Mayock was talking with Matt Bushman after the pro day. So there was interest from the get-go. There was conviction for Matt Bushman. I wish they would have selected him in the seventh round, but it works out. He's going to get a nice contract, about $125,000. Not all of it guaranteed, but he gets an opportunity coming back from an Achilles injury. And I know Matt Bushman will impress. Classy dude. He is going to be a good fit. And Cougar fans will probably support him in droves because there's a ton of BYU fans down in Las Vegas. So it was a great weekend for BYU. You know, I think that the guy that's going to be who's going to be the best player out of this group, I think it could be Brady Christensen. Because I feel like body type, body beautiful, as they say in the NFL draft, he's ready. He is ready to go. I think he's the guy that can be a plug-and-play type and make an impact right away for the Carolina Panthers. But I think also Zach Wilson, obviously. I mean, you can't go wrong with predicting Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson, that arm talent, it's top-notch. And I talked about this, too, on KSLSports.com. I wrote a piece about my memories covering Zach Wilson. For those of you that have followed my work for a long period of time, I've always been high on Zach Wilson. I mean, I took so much grief for calling him, comparing him to Baker Mayfield in his first spring game as a true freshman. Ute fans were all over my back, and it's all in fun. It's Twitter. I love the engagement. It's fun. Like, look, I've had some takes that have been completely wrong. I've had others that have hit. But with Zach Wilson, anyone that was paying close attention, you could just see the talent from the get-go. Now, did I think it was number two overall talent? No, I didn't. I didn't see it going that high. But I thought that he could be an NFL quarterback for sure. I always believed that. I thought for sure he could be an NFL talent. But the ascension he made, it was seriously one of the best seasons of football I've ever seen from a BYU quarterback. I ever have. The best quarterbacks I've ever seen throw the rock in a practice as freshmen, Zach Wilson, John Beck, and Ben Olsen. Now, I know Ben Olsen didn't pan out, but that guy threw a beautiful ball. That thing was humming. Like, you could hear, it was an audible spin. Like, it was I can still vividly remember it at the student athlete building practice fields. But John Beck and Zach Wilson, those guys could sling it, man. And no coincidence, John Beck, Zach Wilson, last two NFL draft picks for BYU. And Wilson, he goes off to the Jets, and I'm excited to see what he can do in that Jets franchise. Hopefully that media out there does not eat him alive. Because they're going to be all hands on deck with everything Zach Wilson, from him to his family, his mom, his girlfriend, everything is on the table. So hopefully he can be locked in and ready to go, because it's going to be a different scene. The Jets media is going to be a lot different than I think what the media Zach experienced here at BYU. But, you know, he had to face adversity at BYU too with the media. Like, leading up to the Hawaii Bowl, he was asked, do you feel like you should lose your job, or you can lose your job due to an injury? He said, no, I don't. You know, like, I mean, there was tough questions asked. It's just not as much scrutiny. And anything in New York, it's the biggest media market. Like, it's going to have a far bigger reach. Like, so many of the best media personnel and media outlets are stationed in New York. So you're going to have national media reporters and analysts on the scene in Florham Park, New Jersey, at the Jets headquarters, maybe on a much more regular basis. Whereas with BYU, you don't have the national folks very often. They did for the Houston game and for Coastal Carolina, but that was about it. Outside of that, it was just the local guys and local guys and gals that we cover the team all the time. It's just a different dynamic with the Jets, so I'm curious to see how Zach fares, but we'll be definitely covering all of it here on KSLSports.com. Real quick, though, before we get out, I want to give you my top 10 BYU football 2022 NFL draft prospects that are draft eligible. So these are guys that have been removed from high school for at least 3 years. Not saying they're going to declare, but just the top draft eligible guys, a way too early look for 2022. I'll give you that next, right here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Top NFL draft prospects, way too early look from BYU football for next year's draft class. Let's start off with number 10. Here are my top 10 guys, draft eligible, been removed from high school for at least 3 years. Not saying they're going to be declaring early by any means, but these are the top draft eligible guys, in my opinion, in the BYU football program. Number 10, Chaz Aiyu. Been plagued a little bit with injuries. He's going to come back in that safety spot. I think Chaz Aiyu, big-time talent. He stays healthy. He's going to only ascend from here. The fact that he's already in the top 10, in my opinion, speaks to his talent already, what he's shown already. Best football still ahead of him by far. Chaz Aiyu, number 10. Number 9, Keenan Peely. Now, the linebacker position is a dying spot in the National Football League in terms of draft picks. Fewest linebackers selected ever in the history of the Common Era draft this past weekend. About 29 guys were selected. So linebackers are tough to get selected anymore. But Keenan Peely, a tackling machine, good athlete, good measurables. He's over 6 feet tall. He's someone that's a good athlete, going to test well in a combine setting. Keenan Peely. Number 8, Jake Oldroyd. Darn near automatic. Lou Groves a finalist. If he puts together, you know, a couple more big years, with that accuracy and consistency and showing that leg 50 plus, he could have a draft grade. You know, it's tough with kickers, I get that, but he's someone that if he shows the leg consistently at 50 plus and he's accurate, he could be a draftable prospect. Number 7, Clark Barrington, offensive guard. He quietly was one of the best offensive linemen in, by Pro Football Focus last season in the interior offensive linemen. Better than Tristan Hodge, better than Channon Herring when he slid into the guard spot. Like he was one of the highest graded guards in college football last season. Got injured at the tail end of last year. He's going to be a starter next season. Probably going to have about 2 more years, but Barrington will be someone that we know with the offensive line, protecting quarterbacks, it's a premium more than ever before. Barrington, watch for him to continue to rise, in my opinion. Staying with the offensive line, Blake Freeland. He's the highest graded offensive lineman at the amongst the offensive tackles to me. He's going to step in at left tackle, and I think he's going to thrive. I really do. He switches over from the right side to the left side. And Freeland, the scouting report on him will be fascinating to NFL scouts. I guarantee it. They're going to love it. Harriman High School, quarterback, athlete, tight end, safety. The man did it all. And then he comes to BYU, and his first live in-game snaps as an offensive lineman were in college at BYU, and his first game ever was against one of the top sack artists in college football in 2019, and he basically shut him down in Weaver from Boise State. Freeland has tons of potential, endless potential. The sky's the limit with him. He could be, and I could be grading him a little bit low right now, he could be a first-round pick. He could. He's that gifted. Left tackle, like his size, about 6'8". He's going to test well. Like he could be a sub 5'40 guy. Yeah. Blake Freeland, watch out. Analyst potential for him. Number 5, Peyton Wilgar. He's someone that could be a D end, could be a linebacker. He could be kind of like a Zaven Collins on a best case scenario, like big. Huge linebacker, like about 250. You could move him up to the line of scrimmage. Like you could use Peyton Wilgar in a variety of ways. And man, he's been really good. Only going to get better. Number 4, Tyler Allgeier. One of the best running backs in college football season ago. I think he's only going to get better. I think he's going to get more usage this year. I think the offensive line is still going to be pretty good. As you can hear, I've been speaking glowingly about some of these offensive linemen. Allgeier, probably going to need about another 2 years or so. The running back position continues to kind of be devalued, but why not? Why couldn't he be like a third or fourth round guy potentially? I think Allgeier could do that. Number 3, Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua hasn't played a down at BYU. I get that. But the potential is off the charts. And look, with Nacua too, one thing that you got to realize, heralded recruits always have an advantage where they are kind of on the radar of NFL scouts from the beginning as high school guys. Like you'll see the anonymous or not anonymous, but you'll see some random high school coach or something go off on after the NFL draft. It happens literally every year. Some random high school position coach will say a stat about the percentage of 3 stars and 2 stars that were selected in a given NFL draft. Look, and I know It's true. Like, there's going to be more 3 and 2 stars selected than the 4 and 5 stars, but it's so rare when there's a 4-star and a 5-star recruit. They're few and far between. Not many players get the 4 and 5-star distinction. And when they do, it's very rare when an outlet like 24/7 Sports misses. If those 4 and 5-star recruits bust, it's usually off the field. It's usually academics. It's usually the extracurricular stuff, not about their talent on the field. Puka Nacua had literally the entire West Coast offering him. USC was once, you know, the landing spot for him. Then he decommits and goes to Washington. Didn't work out there. Now he comes to BYU, and he's going to be a good fit. He's wide receiver number 1. And Puka Nacua is going into his 3rd year of college football, only going to be a sophomore. So got 3 years of eligibility remaining. You get him the next 2 years, I think. He puts up big numbers. He could be gone, and that's what you kind of want. Like, you want him to get to the league. He's got big-time potential to be, you know, a day-two guy. Puka Nacua is big-time talent. But again, I guarantee you're going to see the stat about the low-rated recruits. And look, BYU's 2021 class was low-rated guys. They were overlooked recruits. It happens. There are exceptions to the rule. But understand, there is very few 5- and 4-star recruits in any class. Like, they are few and far between. You don't get many 4-stars and 5-stars in a given year. And those guys still make up a huge bulk of these NFL draft classes. So keep that in mind. Number two, James Empey. James Empey, to me, this is a big year for him. He's got to stay healthy, one. Can he continue to get better? Is it a case of is he who he is, which is fine at the collegiate level? That's great. He's going to be a fantastic center for BYU, one of the best centers in BYU football history. Can he get better, though? You know, can he continue to improve? He spoke with Daryl Funk, and he gave Daryl Funk basically a laundry list of task items that he wants to improve on. So the work ethic is there with James Empey. He understands he wants to get to the league. He's got to step it up a notch, too. Like, he's been good, but if you want to be NFL good, you gotta take it to a higher level. You just do. And he's one of the better centers in college football this year, an All-American candidate. He is going to be a good player. I think this is going to be his last year coming up this fall. Isaac Rex, number one. Isaac Rex, tight end, BYU, only a freshman still, or sophomore. Gosh, I mean, he's actually a freshman still. A redshirt freshman, technically, if you want to factor in the COVID year. It's insane. Isaac Rex, 6'6", 247, pass catching, elite, blocking, only getting better. Isaac Rex, good athlete, not like Kyle Pitts type athlete, but very good downfield. Pitts is kind of the benchmark for elite tight end play. He's going to the Atlanta Falcons, but Isaac Rex, I think he's your best prospect. I think he's, to me, the guy that I look at and say, that's a lock. He's going to be an NFL draft pick. He's just got the build, the frame. I remember seeing him, his first practice at BYU, and I remember his recruitment. I was covering that thing extensively, and I just knew the bloodlines were there. You love the potential, too. And the fact that his offer sheet wasn't extensive, you thought, well, what was the issue there? But he was a BYU guy through and through. I see the first practice at fall camp. It was 2019, and he was raw. Like, coming back from the mission, you could tell the mission legs were making him a little bit wobbly. Like, but just that frame, that build, he's just got a body. He's like an eye candy. Like, it sounds weird, but the NFL draft is about that, man. They got the body types and the frame that just teams will instantly be drawn to, like, who's that guy? You know, who's that guy? Need to learn more about him. You can mold a 6'6", 247-pound tight end who can catch anything in sight. 12 touchdowns last season, his first time as a full-time starter. So that's my top 10. 2022 NFL draft prospects for BYU. What do you think? You can share your thoughts with me on Twitter at Mitch_Harper. That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Mitch_Harper, at KSL Sports, and download the KSL Sports app. It's always presented by University Federal Credit Union. I'll be back later this week discussing all the latest in the world of BYU football and some BYU basketball news as well. This has been Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.